the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
From Hebrews, those verses towards the end, "Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water." From those miracles surrounding the crucifixion of Christ, we hear what Hebrews is referencing in Matthew chapter 27. "And behold, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth shook, and the rocks were split. The tombs were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming out of the tombs after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many." The curtain is what our attention is directed towards this day. The curtain in the temple, which is torn in two from its very top to its very bottom at the moment of Christ's death, in the midst of that darkness that we spoke about last week. That curtain had hung in the temple in Jerusalem as a barrier. By today's standards, the temple of Jerusalem would not have been nearly as large or maybe even as impressive as some of the skyscrapers and office buildings that you can see in New York or Chicago or Dallas. But for its day and time, the temple was unmistakable. It sat at the highest point in Jerusalem. It gleamed from afar, miles away, as you approached the holy city. You could see it there, perched on the mountain. The smoke from sacrifices and incense rising up continually. It was in such a prominent place, because despite not maybe being as big as some of what we build today, the religious significance of the temple was far greater than Herod could have even built it. Especially so was that interior of the temple that sat there at the top of the mountain in Jerusalem. Once inside the temple, the curtain would have caught your eye immediately. It formed a separation between the two main rooms, the holy and the most holy, or holy of holies. Behind that curtain was the very presence and dwelling place, the footstool of the living God, the mercy seat. To prevent anyone from looking upon God in His holiness, in His room, throne room, this curtain hung as a barrier. 6 inches thick, 60 feet high, and spreading the entire width of the interior of the temple. It was a reminder to the people of Isaiah 59. "Your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden His face from you." The curtain was not even the only separation there at the temple. There were walls, there were curtains, there were courts, all designed to separate in further layers a sinful people from a pure and holy God. There in that temple, on the other side of the curtain where priests could enter, they carried out their priestly functions in the house of God. While they were part of that same separation, they alone acted as a go-between between a holy God and a sinful people. Men could bring animals for sacrifice into the court of the priests. They would then lay their hands on the animal, symbolically transferring their sins to it, and then it would be sacrificed. And the Lord God instructed his priests to then bless the people who now stood forgiven before him. But none of them, save for one day, and only then the high priest, could actually go into God's presence. Only the high priest on the Day of Atonement, after the blood of a bull and goat had been sacrificed, then could one enter for one time into that Holy of Holies, what lay behind the curtain, the presence of God. But no one else could, ever. No priests, no people, all separated. All of this was part of Israel's ceremonial law, the law that, along with the moral and civil law, had been given to Moses on Mount Sinai after the Israelites had left Egypt and were on their way to the promised land where that temple would be built. Those various features and functions of the whole priesthood and people, especially that of the high priest, were a foreshadowing, as Hebrews says, of the role and the purpose of Christ. The high priest going into that most holy place was a foreshadowing of the reality that was Christ, as he carries out now that priestly office on behalf of you. The sacrifices in the temple and the blood and the animals all foreshadowed Christ's cross and Christ's blood that was shed for your salvation. And the Day of Atonement, that one time when a high priest, the high priest, could step behind the curtain with the blood of atonement, foreshadowed the reconciliation between you and me in our sin with the Father in all of His holiness. Access that we now have through faith in Christ Jesus. That's what the miracle of the temple curtain being torn in two signifies. The moment Christ died, all separation between God and man came to an end. A final sacrifice, a final shedding of blood had been done. And no more was there separation. I printed off a picture of an artist's rendition. I know that's really small. But there in the temple, the picture shows all of the tables and incense being turned over, the floor splitting from the earthquake, and the temple curtain being ripped in two at the moment of Christ's death. The artist conveying what Matthew has told us. That ceremonial law with all of its foreshadowing, all of its sacrifices, all of its separation, all of its lack of access to God had now come to an end with Christ's death. All of it, as that 6-inch thick curtain ripped 60 feet from top to bottom, all of it was replaced with the new reality of which Hebrews speaks. That in Christ, we now have access to the Father as never His people did before. Many of the writers of Scripture speak of this. In Romans, Paul says, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through Him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. Ephesians, Paul says, through Him, we have access in one Spirit to the Father. In Ephesians 3, in Christ Jesus our Lord, we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in Him. And Peter himself says, Christ suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that He might bring us to God. Bring us through that barrier of sin. We are reminded of this access, of this reconciliation with God, every time we come to church. There's no court of the priests that you have to go through before you come into this sanctuary. There are no barricades or barriers keeping you from coming and approaching the altar and the Lord's table itself. And in fact, the very presence, the body and blood of Christ are placed in your hand and on your tongue. The tearing of the curtain in the temple is a miraculous sign of the Heavenly Father's welcome now to His people through Jesus Christ, who shed His blood for you at the cross. Through the faith worked in you by the Holy Spirit, you now have access to your Creator, access to eternal life, access to forgiveness of sins. In that, we are glad and we rejoice. In Christ Jesus' name, amen. We continue.